It is being recorded on September 18th, 2007. We're going to have Bob's commentary on David Lynch's latest expression called Inland Empire. And I want to just say an introductory thing that most reviewers talk about. Is this about reality or about a dream? They usually set up a dialectic. The main character, Laura Dern's playing, named Nikki, is she having a breakdown or something else going on? And it doesn't involve anything else besides her. So there's this dialectic between two things. So we can call that a doubleness issue. Who's double of what, right? But I'm going to take the approach that there's two doubles, two sets of doubles. There's the double of the human being and its own psychology, dream, and anthropomorphic reality. And then there's the doubleness of the technological environment, what we call the media environment, of cinema and television and radio and recording. The dialectic between that, as well as those two interacting with the dialectic within Laura Dern's character. All right? So we got two doubles going on here. That's what I say reviewers miss. They try to decide between one or the other, or give up. But they don't include another doubleness that's going on. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's start the movie.
Okay. I don't know if you introduced the fact that I'm also listening in on this.
Yes, my double's here.
Bob's director. Yeah. This is Bob's director's cut of Inland Empire.
Yeah, like this is, you'll be playing backup. It's not like our Scott and Bob dialogues. Not an equal thing. I'm going to dominate a bit here and explain the movie and then see how it affects you or what you come up with. All right?
Okay.
We do have Scott here, but he's a minor player in this movie. Okay, you ready?
Yeah. So,
I'm clicking it.
Go?
Yeah.
All right.
Now, the first thing that comes up is the word absurda. And the R was flipped, if you noticed. It's not in this part, but when you first look at the DVD I got out of the regular Blockbuster world, there's Absurda, A-B-S-U-R-D-A, and then the R flips to a reverse R, right? So he's showing a reverse doubleness right there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, we get a light coming on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we get a sound, and supposedly we don't know what the sound is yet. Now, this light could be a car driving in the distance. It could even be a scene from a previous Lynch movie of a car going down a desert zone, right?
Did he do Lost Highway?
Oh, yeah. And then you have Inland Empire, and it's kind of vague. It's not clear what Inland Empire the word said, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's dark, just the title. Right?
Right.
So the car is, or UFO, flying vehicle, has disappeared.
Or a strobe, you know, like when they're advertising a new movie or trying to get people to.
You're saying a strobe?
Yeah, you know how they put those strobes
in the
sky.
It doesn't look like a strobe. Now, okay, so longest running radio play in history. Now we're looking at a gramophone here. Would you say?
You know what? I don't know what it is.
Okay, now we're in the stairway. Now, the dark stairway is, and that voice that we heard about saying it wrong, I don't recognize this hallway. This stairway is going to be all through the film, right?
Mm-hmm.
Laura Dern's going to end up, her character's going to end up in this situation. I don't have the key. No, you gave it to me. What's wrong with me? She feels bad, all right? She's disoriented already.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever this person is, right?
Yeah, note that the heads are all blurred out.
Yeah, and we'll find out later that this is in Poland, I guess. Doesn't recognize the room. Take off your clothes. So all the themes of what's going to happen in the movie are here. Going into a strange room. And you know what horrors do, okay? We know horrors will be a factor later. This guy seems to not want to have sexual relations yet.
No, he seems like he's doing a controlling trip.
Yeah.
she's getting naked, which is metaphor for what happens to the characters in the film.
Yeah, losing their identity, right. Their clothing. Where am I? We've already got into a problem of location here. And she's afraid, which is what Lynch is going to create fearful effects throughout the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's this lyric say? Catch what that opening line is in the song?
No, I don't have the volume really
up.
On
the other side. On the other side. Okay, that's where we're going to see the rabbits. On the other side. Ah, I just said rabbits. Now we're seeing another girl in a hotel room, or some room, and she's looking at a blank screen. No content. Television.
I didn't notice the first time, but she's naked and she's holding a red dress over the front of her body.
Okay, now that means she may be a follow-up from what we just saw. Now you have a quick image of the weird neighbor coming, and the beginning of the movie that is going to come, so she's seeing ahead into the movie, and she saw the rabbits first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Saw the rabbits and then the neighbor, which are scenes that are coming. But now it's focusing on
the rabbits.
Now she
sees the lamp.
What?
She just saw the lamp in the snow of the TV screen.
Yeah, and well, the lamp of the rabbit set, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the lamp plays a role in his movies, and particularly this movie.
Well, that's the electric light. So someone comes out, and he seems to be recognized by the audience. The male rabbit, senior rabbit guy, right?
The audience applauses, and he stands at attention.
Yeah, it doesn't bow, but he's acknowledging him.
He's got the big ears, so I guess that's
ready. Get ready. You want to hear? Don't want to miss a word. Yeah, big ears. Yeah.
That's acoustic space.
Yeah, tactile TV antenna, or doubleness.
Oh yeah.
And look at the way they're laid up and back. There's six doubles of the ears.
Yeah.
I'm going to find out one day. That's the eternal human mystery, a sense of quest to find out something. When will you tell her or it? Did you catch that? When you would tell it, or who could have known? Who could have known? When you consider what the whole thing... what time is it? We know the whole movie's going to be about what time is it, but it's also going to be about space.
And the audience...
They laugh at it, because these people are not involved in time issues, they're involved in space issues, because they're going to interplay with the human dimension. Right?
Right.
I have a secret, says the guy. She's crying, she's watching. And she's going to be the one... No calls today. That's the electric environment, the telephone, which was a key medium in other Lynch movies. Now, this woman who's crying is going to end up being happy at the end of the movie. Okay? She gets her son back.
Mm-hmm.
With Laura's, or one of the Laura's... characters. I hear someone. Could be hearing this woman who's viewing them. Notice a green room, too.
They're looking towards the door.
Can't you hear what they're... I don't want you to drown out what she's... I want to hear what they're saying. What'd you say? Yeah, she said something about... I don't know what she said. But they're going to go to the door and they're going to look... Now, we've seen this movie before, so we can talk a bit ahead of it. So he's going somewhere. Mr. Rabbit, Senior Rabbit. Can you hear clearly what you're watching?
No.
Oh, you don't have the volume up?
Yeah, we're not exactly in sync with each other, so it's a little difficult.
Okay. I'll comment more. Okay, so the rabbit, the thing is, you're just getting the visuals. And I'll comment as much as I can on the audio.
So, but he left the rabbit space. Now he seems to be entering this kind of theater where part of the movie takes place.
Not the theater, it's the hotel.
This is
where the movie is going to be shot. So he has come into the... And I assume this is the Polish...
Now notice that profile of him. He looks like a Playboy bunny. I don't know if that's significant or not.
Okay, so he arrives in the other dimension, then disappears. Then there's a... suddenly the... Yeah, godfather, landlord kind of guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the guy that's going to talk to him here is the same guy, even though we didn't see the face, you had a feeling it was the same one that took the girl into the hotel at the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I feel that. I thought he looked like that. Maybe we see that later. You were looking for something? The same quest idea. Are you looking to go in? Inland. Right? Are you looking to go in? Go. An opening? He's looking for an opening into the rabbit zone. He may know about this other zone, right?
Mm-hmm.
He knows this guy comes from the rabbit zone. So he's trying to figure out how to get there. Now, we know Laura will eventually, her character, that's good, you understand. Laura will eventually, at the end up in the rabbit room. You know that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she will get there, and he wants to get there. See, then they show the rabbit.
Yeah.
And it's kind of repeating what we just saw.
Now, that right there is the icon that Hugh Hefner uses for Playboy magazine.
Right. So that's what they call David Lynch's surrealism erotic.
Yeah.
Surrealist eroticism. But the rabbit turning around looking, that's a replay of what we saw before the rent and the landlord guy showed up.
So now, the movie is about sexual infidelity.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
He just replayed the scene. Now, here comes the, we'll call her the evil woman. Okay, now she's David Lynch in the sense that she's a director. She knows what's going to happen. She's on top of the whole thing, been through it all herself before, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can find out from her dialogue. So it's a parody of Lynch. If you think of the director as knowing where the movie's going, that's what she is.
Yeah.
And you'll notice she says she's down the way, behind the woods. There's the woods theme from Twin Peaks, but you can't see her house.
Mm.
So she represents some invisible, behind-the-scenes ground.
Right.
Now, this house, I think, becomes the scene at the end, and it also is the hotel. I'm not sure. It may be the hotel.
This is her home.
I know, but you assume it's Beverly Hills, but it might be the hotel they're in when they are filming over there.
Right.
We'll see. Okay, new neighbor means your new environment. Okay, I'm a new aspect in your life. I'm gonna alter your life just by coming into content. I'm a new environment. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Coming into contact. So an intruder. So this is like you're at work and a new employee comes in. You got to adapt to the new employee.
Mm-hmm.
New employee's going to adapt to you. The initial mystery of encounter between humans, right? The mystery of a new being in front of you.
Right.
You got the bodyguard, which is the butler. So they're going to go through a normal, polite, necessary social cliches. A little bit of irony in the way she's saying it. Now look at how proper Laura is, but then she'll become all these other Lauras.
Mm-hmm.
She's a pretty good actress. That level, right?
Yeah, she's extraordinary.
Talking about the brick house in the back of the woods. She's not sure. Difficult to see it from the road, which is the opening scene of the car going down the road if you take that light as a car, right? Difficult to see from your normal pathway. Hidden environment. Like, interesting, the setting up of this silent period brings in little awkwardnesses, human awkwardnesses, which is low-key fear or apprehension.
Right.
Mystery, right? Simple human interaction, which is semi-awkward.
Yeah, as he pours the tea, the camera kind of shakes a little to indicate an uncertainty.
Yeah. I'll be just close by if you need me. Human apprehension, protecting each other.
Yeah.
Which Lynch's movies exaggerate this human apprehension. So she's surprised, kind of, maybe unless it was in the popular press, she doesn't seem that, she doesn't, all right, so that's what upsets her. This woman says, you will get it. She might have heard in the press that she's in the movie, knowing she's a star. Oh, she stops herself there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it about marriage? So when she doesn't say it's about marriage, it does, when we see the movie, it doesn't really determine what's going on in terms of marriage, infidelity, whatever. It is a bit of a part of a theme, right?
Well, the movie is about marriage and infidelity.
Not really. That's why Laura says it's not completely.
No, because Laura is either naive or isn't acknowledging the truth because she's spooked out by this lady.
Right, no, but...
Because the lady asks if there's a murder in the film,
okay,
and she says...
Hold it. She's doing the kid. Okay, so here's the human creates a dimension, and evil becomes a reflection. So there's the first dialectic. You create something, you're going to get a reaction. What is this? I'm sorry, what is that?
Right.
Another variation of the female version. Mm-hmm. As if half-born. Not either image or person. Marketplace is not for the woman. Behind the marketplace, the hidden ground of the marketplace is where the girl goes.
Right.
To the palace, the way to the palace. But you don't remember. Now, Laura eventually does forget this, gets confused about how she forgets this theme of going down the alley.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she's saying she's the worst one. She's used to having no memory. She's confident operating without memory.
Yeah.
Could be a little devilish there.
No, it's not part of the story. Is it or isn't it?
Brutal fucking murder. I like that. That's real. I don't like this kind of talk. Brutal fucking murder. There's that number, 945 shows up later.
The unpaid bill comes up later. Actions do have consequences. That comes up later, too.
Yeah. the magic, the rabbit zone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while we're waiting for that, I wanted to mention, she says the house is just down the way. That phrase gets repeated later. Just down the way.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier when she's saying where she lived. That's a neat angle there. Intense look, the way she points her finger.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she's with two women, Laura Dern there and the coach. Always two women she's sort of interacting with. Generally, they're not too friendly there in the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that could be a doubleness. The two friends, always two friends.
She's overcome with emotion. She got the part. I love this little champion thing her butler does.
Yeah. In a review I read, they said he does a dance. They called it a dance. Now, the husband's real kind of secretive and observant here, right?
Right. They don't know he's watching.
He's concerned.
He's the hidden ground now for them.
Yeah.
Hollywood.
What? Yeah. So this is the media environment.
Stage 32. Up their sense of possibilities.
Yeah. He's seducing them in the possibility. He's trying to instill purpose.
He's never in on the high weirdness. He's always just being the director trying to figure out how to make this movie.
Yeah.
This guy's
himself the director.
Yeah.
Okay, this clapping, which is now we're going to the TV show, the Daily TV Body. See, this is the TV zone, which is faster as the gossip world, right? Whereas we've just been talking about a simple movie. Now they got to deal with this TV environment.
Mm-hmm.
So a typical TV invasive of privacy, right?
Right.
And like she's.
But she's anticipating
fantasy.
She's anticipating the infidelity that's going to occur.
Yes, and she's assuming it, and it's a fantasy in her part. But that TV is this kind of fantasy world. Knowing live, interactive ESP world.
Mm-hmm.
Movies are a bit slower on that level. Okay.
Is that Laura Dern? I think that's Laura Dern's mother. I'm not sure.
Diane Ladd.
Mm.
There and there. See?
Beyond, around the world.
Yeah, TV is everywhere.
Beyond, around the world.
Yeah. So that is a new world, the TV world. That the movie is just one transitory product in. She's more of a queen. She's like a Barbara Walters, right?
Yeah.
Now, he's complaining about her right there.
Well, yeah, she was out of place.
Which is symbolic of the invasiveness of TV world. The old movie industry is a bit slower.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting how he's sort of shocked that they would suggest he'd have an affair with her, but then a little later he kind of...
He doesn't know her well enough to know that he's going to sort of fall in love with her.
Yeah, but at first he denies he knows what they're talking about, but then he starts giggling with them about how nice of an ass she has.
Yeah, but, you know,
lock
that could be any woman.
Yeah. And they had to put on his silly leather jacket, just his walking around jacket. He had to have servants put on his jacket.
Right.
Okay, remember, this is a replay also of Allison going down the hole through the looking glass, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is what Lynch did in Mulholland Drive and Lost Highway. So replaying the Alice in Wonderland kind of situation. So it begins right after this scene.
This is the electric light again.
Yeah. That's the electric environment, general electric environment. So now she's going to go down the hall with this uncomfortable fact presented to her.
Right.
About the murder. Okay, look at that. See? License, April 6, 2005, on high and blue tomorrow. She says later in the movie script, I don't want any blue tomorrows. But this is on high in blue tomorrows, right?
Yeah.
But it gave the date, April 6, 2005,
mm-hmm.
for the making of the actual movie, probably.
Oh.
It's the actual set that Lynch had when he made the movie, perhaps.
There's Smithy's house. And she's like in reverie, like, I kind of recognize it, but I don't recognize it.
Yeah, and is Smithy's house going to be the house where a lot of the stuff takes place?
Yeah, it's the part of the stage that the film is being made in.
Yeah, and the hotel's right near it.
But it flips from being movie stage to, you don't know if it's real or a movie.
Right. Now this, his assistant is going to say a couple interesting things. So they sit down and they remain immobile for a while, like they're recovering from the nausea from the tea they had.
I think the director's recovering from the remark that his assistant just made.
Which was what?
He said terrible, doesn't even describe how bad it was. He just has a bad attitude, and it's like bad blood between them.
No, I don't get that, but I do see that they are feeling, that they both are feeling ill from the tea. But maybe not. You might be right there. And he's going to smoke in front of them.
Yeah. And
no smoking on the set.
Yeah, he's just a general nuisance. He shouldn't be there, but it's like there's a nepotism thing.
Why he's there?
Why?
He's the one who goes out and holds his liquor and hang out with the industry people and find out what's going on, because information about the industry.
Oh, that's right. So he does play he's there for
a
purpose.
He's a spy.
Yeah. Because before you said that, I had the feeling that it was just sort of like he was the director's brother, and he was there for like nepotism or something.
Right. No, he does key work. He's the one who interacts with the environment, the movie Hollywood environment of politics.
But he's so needy. He's always asking people for money.
Yeah, it would be a habit.
A little friendly chit-chat before they start reading the script.
Yeah, now, let's look at this movie. Is Lynch talking about what happens to Britney Spears, Mariah Carey, Lindsay Lohan? They all freak out, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a typical Hollywood syndrome, because they can never handle the effects of being in that medium.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a kind of like a media ecology theme here by Lynch.
They're starting to read, and...
And it can almost become like it did happen last night.
Right. All the, yeah.
And again, they're talking about something that's already happened that they've forgotten about, which is the theme of the movie.
Yeah.
It happened and people forgot about them, right?
That's right.
It's like an after hangover.
Mm-hmm.
An after image. So he's laying out the process of cognition right in this dialogue here. That there's more that's already happened.
Right. That right now there's
it's echoing.
Yeah.
So Lynch moves it pretty quickly into the nebulous zone, into the gap, the interval.
Mm-hmm.
When she goes, this thing, are you happy or are you sorry? That's what the original girl in the hotel dark room had. They couldn't determine who was answering whose question, right?
Mm-hmm.
This could be a scene way down past a lot of what we're going to see. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we know that it's Laura's going to be looking at herself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Later.
Right.
Laura Dern, whoever she's supposed to be, Nikki, Sue, whatever.
Right.
Now,
but
let's look at this.
There's a presence that's haunting and he's going to see who it is, and we don't know now, but later we find out it's her doppelganger almost.
Right. Now, this, and she may be dead. The thing is, when one dies, do you see all this? Like Elvis, when he died, did he hear all these recordings of himself? Does he see all these movies? Does it confuse his astral body if you assume he survived death?
Mm-hmm.
So she could be her spirit looking at herself.
Yeah.
So Lynch mixes up the astral dimension. You remember, he's a meditator. He's in the Maharishi Transcendental Meditation, so he may think about life after death or other dimensions than the physical.
Right.
Might be a factor in his movies. He got into meditation very early, 1973.
Mm.
He spoke recently here in New York. I went to it, and he laid out his history for his new book. What can we say about this? We're seeing an aspect of it, and then we're going to see another aspect from the other side later when we see Laura looking at herself. Now, you will notice when we see it again, when Laura sees herself and sees the scene, you will see that Laura disappears. The Laura that we're looking at now disappears.
Mm-hmm.
Disappear where it's really hard to disappear. In other words, there's an interdimensional transition going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Like into the rabbit zone.
Mm-hmm.
So that spooks the director. Now he's going to talk about the murder, and later Devin gets upset, and the producer of the movie has to say, hey, no, it's not really true. We don't know if it really happened. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That the two leads got murdered.
Right.
Somebody's got to do it. Gable's dead. Clark Gable's dead. There's an inventory of the drama, what I call the drama of cognition. When we interact with people, we don't know how much they're telling us. And we know that they will find other things, tell us some things, but they won't tell other people. But they won't tell us some things, they tell other people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you laid out the essential human mystery of cognition between people.
Mm-hmm.
Related to this guy who can hold his liquor and party. Freddie can party with the industry people and find out stuff. So it's our information society, which means everybody is engaged in espionage or surveillance. Espionage is our daily activity, McLuhan said.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's original in Hollywood. You know, nothing's original in the sense that this is the archetypal scene of people getting involved in each other's personal lives while acting in a movie, right? That's an ongoing, constant Hollywood theme.
Mm-hmm.
In the movies and in their personal lives. Interesting how Freddie looks. Oh, listen to this. 4047. That's the room at the end that gets her into the rabbit house. All right? 4-7.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number on the door that she goes through when at the end and she ends up in the rabbit zone. That's the title of the first version of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And 4-7 is 11. Now she's in a holy situation, right? And her husband seems to understand the holy scene more than she does.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's a powerful Hollywood executive.
But he implies that she
knows more. There you have the drama of cognition of I don't know how much you know about the situation we're in, which
right.
The director was just talking about.
Right.
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 We all need friends, agents to tell us. Now, this is the wife of Devin. Okay?
This That's is the right.
Wife of Devin.
We find out later.
Yeah. And it's interesting how the cop is indifferent to even the fact she has a screwdriver in her stomach. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Once he sees it. Now, she's been hypnotized or something. As we are by movies in Hollywood and TV. Moved his hands, hand signals for the blind. We're going to get in, that'll be repeated.
We don't find out who hypnotized her, though, do we?
Yes, it's Laura's real husband. Now, she talked about the screwdriver. Laura picks up the screwdriver when she's the suburban housewife from the neighbor, Mr. Krim. Okay?
Yeah.
Who is the guy, I think, who attacks her at the end, where she has...
See, this implies that she is Laura, because Laura gets stabbed, and she's got this... been stabbed,
yeah.
And...
Right, right. It's ongoing thing about how many people are repeating the scene. Repeating the effect of being hypnotized by somebody.
Mm-hmm. He's not sure how to take that.
Right. And we don't know at this point, unless you hear the name. When you hear, say, Billy and Sue, you know what it is.
Yeah. Right now, you can't tell if this is really happening or...
Yeah. Now it's just Billy, so it's the movie. Not familiar. The strangeness comes into his life. Something he didn't expect. the effects of a new environment, which is her, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the character is claiming that he's got a new feeling, just like that lady. At the beginning, the neighbor came, put a new feeling into Laura.
Right.
See, that could have been the initial injection, just her showing up and putting Laura Dern off, who Laura as Nikki, putting her off a bit, you know?
Right, getting
vulnerable.
Getting her
vulnerable like a cult.
Yeah.
I think she said no blue tomorrows. I think she used the phrase there. I talked over it.
Yeah, all I see is coming from this is blue tomorrows.
She said that, right?
I think so, unless she says it later.
So he just said, the director, we're going to leave this level.
Yeah, now she's looking at him from... The scene's over, but she continues to linger looking at him like, I wonder if I'm interested in this guy.
Yeah. She has a more sophisticated aura here.
Here she's more girlish.
Right now,
yeah.
Yeah, whereas before she's the wise woman. A little wiser than the person we saw at the beginning of the movie in the house.
Yeah.
Or cynical, I should say. Cynical. Sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoying it.
Fast network.
Well, the impossibilities. That's the theme of the movie.
They used to raise rabbits.
Oh, there you go. Okay, the director can work with animals. I was just reading that. I was just reading the other day an essay by LaRouche where he's talking about animals acquire reasoning abilities by hanging around humans. He says basically they can't, you know, make real reasoning like humans can and develop and make new environments, new technologies and that, but they can acquire subtle semi-human reasoning. So I was just reading that just before I saw this movie.
Yeah. Well, it could be they just develop a stimulus response to the environment
that looks like a reason. And maybe we are projecting that into them, that they're thinking.
Yeah. I know people that do that.
Which is the anthropomorphic projection.
Right. I know people that talk to their animals and seem to really think that their animals understand them.
Right, but this idea of controlling animals is the attitude of Laura's husband, the big executive of Hollywood. It's the attitude of the director. He's got to deal with the actors. So interacting with technological environments is like working with animals.
So here's the deal. Pay up. It's kind of like, you know, he's making them pay up or something.
Some kind of an acknowledgement of them.
Yeah. Smitty.
Talking about his niece, he's fascinated by Smitty. Who's Smitty?
Smitty's house. He built the set.
Who's playing Smitty?
Yeah, I know. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, so Smitty is someone we don't know.
He's
not her.
He's a mystery person. He's a mystery body.
Yeah. So, the modern oligarchy. So, they had Devin over for dinner, right?
Mm-hmm.
This seems to be real, right? It's not in the movie.
But that's not her. That's not her butler. I don't know.
It looks different?
I don't know where she is.
No, it looks like... Oh, you're right. It's not the same guy.
I don't think it is.
Maybe they're in Poland now.
Yeah, I think they are.
So that, I don't know. That may be the same guy, may not be.
I'm pretty sure it's not.
Right.
Because he spoke with a heavy accent.
Oh, yeah, right. So they're in Poland. Interesting when she met the Polish older people.
Mm-hmm.
Lynch has had... Oh, wait. You're not listening. Arguing over what cognition. Who's picking up what from who? Who's matching? Who's receiving information, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Lynch had, in Mulholland Drive, he had a young actress meeting an older couple. So he has Laura Dern meeting the older Polish people, you know, 10 minutes ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's this intimidation. And it's kind of odd at his friendly dinner party. Not a free agent. So this is the patriarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's the binding of human karma, human relationships that we're going to see in this movie. All these people are bound to each other.
There are consequences to one action. She repeats the wicked woman.
Yeah. It's almost like they're a cult. They have the same mind control phrases. You know,
or they're, or she and him are both like the same person. They're just shape-shifting.
Yeah, yeah.
Or he's her masculine. He's her anima and she's his...
Right.
Whatever it is.
Now, what we have here, we saw the Barbara Walters character was a TV body. Where's the chip environment? That's the technology that Lynch is using to make this movie.
Right. We're watching it on digital CDs, DVD.
We are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
This is a funny scene. I don't know why, but it's just humorous.
Well, it shows life on the set.
Yeah. The director doesn't know what he wants, and he can't get what he wants, and he can't communicate it.
Okay, that can be a banal, cliche way of form showing you a person trying to get something can't get it. All the other characters have the same problem. They're trying to get something, but they can't get it perfect. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the big level is that Laura's character, Nikki, can't get what she's looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So the confusion of the interaction and the drama of cognition. What did you say, Bucky? Yeah, the crap.
Thank you, Bucky.
Bucky Fuller.
There's the light again.
Right. The electric environment.
The electric
the
lamp.
General Electric 20th century. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, McLuhan had the light bulb on the cover of Understanding Media, the first edition. They just said something about Bucky again.
See, I think they're about to do the nude scene because she's wearing a robe. She looks like she's naked under that robe.
Oh,
looks like they're getting ready to do the bedroom scene.
Yeah, that's a good point. And it's just showing the life.
They're isolating the set to make it, you know, like real safe and no intrusions.
Right, but the point is that they're showing how the boring time you got to sit around and wait for scenes, and that's when human relationships can start happening.
Mm, yeah.
So here, now this could be Laura's house. Doesn't look like Laura's original Beverly Hills house. You know what I mean? This is the Polish kind of hotel house, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, they're it's like they're pretending to be actors. And they hang out in the hotel, and she does her exercise while they're waiting to do a movie.
Mm-hmm.
They're actors in a movie. In the off hours, you know what I mean?
Right.
So things started to go downhill when the woman showed up with her screwdriver,
yeah.
Which happened right after the first scene, where they start to get in trouble with each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, Lynch is showing people that movies, they're not a separate world. They're real. And the relationships that develop on a movie are pretty close to real life, off movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems that there are a lot of affairs going on all the time on movie sets.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's,
when...
Well, let's not drown out the words here too much. Dinner is the big demarcation point, right?
Yeah.
Having dinner, later they... This is in the within the movie, Billy and Sue, but then later he actually asks her for dinner.
Yeah, when they're in between takes.
Yeah. So this is a documentary on one level, just life making in the industry of making movies.
Right.
And the human dilemma, which leads to Britney Spears, Mariah Carey, Lindsay Lohan freakouts.
Right.
Juggling their various bodies, the chemical body, the TV body, the chip body, and their spiritual body, their astral body. So for those who don't know what I'm talking about, you can hear some other conversation I've had with Scott, but I'm mapping this onto Lynch's model here. So what we have here is that they get more involved in each progressive scene, and it leads to her getting more and more in trouble, right?
Right.
Deeper levels of trouble as they get more involved.
Mm-hmm.
And underlying it all is this threat that they could be killed.
Yeah, if they haven't been already.
You say on the DVD that they show Lynch getting mad at the in the documentary of him making this movie.
Yeah, one of the stagehands.
Right, like what we're seeing now, Lynch is throwing in, this is life on the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Life is making a movie. And it's just one movie out of millions that they're making. And here's where they got to eat crap food, and they're going to get cancer from this stuff. Right? The drinks and the coffee. This would be from Connie's point of view. Terrible movies on movie sets. Terrible food on sets. And that's part of the hidden seduction, is they eat sugared foods which will addle their brains.
Mm-hmm. There's Freddy, you know, making people pay up, getting... collecting whatever he collects, information or money or whatever.
It's his way of establishing community. So here's a real proposal.
Mm-hmm.
There's her cynical self again.
Yeah, cynical but seductive.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean cynical as ugly cynical. It's called sophisticated.
Yeah.
Knowing. You know, you've been through this 100 times. Every movie she ever made.
She's thinking it over.
So later we're going to see prostitutes, and so Lynch on some level is showing the average human being who's an actor is a prostitute within the industry of providing movie content for people, right?
Right. Well, listen, I would think, you know, these leading men and leading ladies, it'd probably be pretty hard for them not to get aroused by each other with some of the scenes they do for movies.
Yeah, and also because they are humans, they have a... a chance to interact with someone, and they have an alibi. Most people have to interact with who they're married or connected to.
Right.
They stay within that format. Every new movie is a new opportunity, and they have the seduction of expressing themselves creatively, you know.
Right.
Trying to perform.
Yeah.
Being an artist. So it's an encouraging environment to
right.
explore the strength.
The
new.
Money scene, which is like like shot of Viagra, getting paid, you know, $2 million for a...
Yeah. And you feel invulnerable. You're not subject to normal community pressures of, like, working in an office, other than the pressures of being on the set.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not something you can have to go back to. You leave the set once the movie's over. You, otherwise, have to go to the same office.
Mm-hmm. If that's what she wants, she's surrendering to him.
Yeah. And again, we know this is Billy and Sue, but it also could be both. And it actually is both. It's not a big question of... Because the acting is real. Acting is a real reality.
Mm-hmm.
In what we call reality, you're acting. You're being polite. You're following certain scripts.
He always says uncut.
What?
He always says uncut, which is the reverse of what you expect. They always say
right.
cut, but he always says uncut.
Yeah. I was going to say, but underlying all this is a deeper problem that's come sneaking up on them.
You know, I just noticed that when he says uncut, it's like doing a reversal.
Right, like it's another world, the bizarro.
Yeah, or he's flipping the acting to the reality instead of the reality of the acting.
Yeah. He said cut there.
Right. Now she's really blurring the lines.
Yeah, this is a great transition. What the heck's going on? Okay, now look, what's that background? I guess it's part of the set, but it looks like another part of the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Now Devin's concerned.
Right.
To the producer, you got to keep it going. Because that, don't worry. It seems that the movie that they're making is about people getting killed.
Yeah.
And they get it's a movie about what the movie. It's literally the movie we're watching. The movie that never got made.
Right, the movie's cursed.
Yeah. But it's the story of people being killed by some guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I was just thinking that this issue where she suddenly thinks this is like we're talking in a script and she's mixing up her private affair with the guy with the movie, that's because it's acting out the fact that they don't remember the chronology of events is mixed up. So we don't see them getting that far into it.
Mm-hmm.
Now we see them, but she's reacting before it happened. But it might have happened earlier.
Right.
Now, this theme of mixing up of chronology is McLuhan's point about media screw up our sense of time and cognition, and especially the instant replay. So this is a good sex scene. This is a new way to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which he said to her earlier that she talked
yeah,
about. Yeah,
when they were in the other reality, the
yeah.
real world reality.
Which I think they're laughing at there.
Mm-hmm. There's
now, the way
moment they have that freeze frame there, there's something.
Yeah, that's interesting. And then you have, which could be like, shifting.
There's that lamp. There's that lamp in the background, the outline, the shadow of that lamp.
Right, which shows up all through the movie.
Right.
And now the husband's looking at him, and that could be part of the movie. In the real movie, no, in the movie that they're supposedly making, the husband would catch them like this, right?
Yeah.
Seems to me that Lynch is showing you the things he thinks about as he's making movies. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Little dramas he notices and the blurring that goes on.
Right.
And he thinks these people aren't aware of it.
Story I know I was telling yesterday, but I know it's tomorrow.
Right.
Going back to the behind the grocery.
This is the story that the little girl goes through that
right.
A neighbor told. Goes down the alley.
Yeah.
So she's already...
And he calls her Sue. He goes, Sue, damn. And she goes, no, it's Nikki. I'm Nikki. Listen, you...
She repeats the thing exactly.
Mm-hmm.
She just said all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, the remembering.
What is this, Sue? He says. See, he's hypnotized, and she's waking up from the hypnosis, or something.
And this is a great scene of his face. That's a devilish face. I've seen that in other Lynch movies.
Yeah.
That very scene right there. The light.
Yeah, face. It's hysterical. He's both cracking up and crying at the same time.
Yeah. This whole thing about memory flooding in, that's what the neighbor lady warned her about. We don't remember. But now she's remembering. Or it's starting to flood in.
Right.
So here's the scene that you just talked about that happened yesterday.
Right.
Now, when she comes down here, this is where she goes down the rabbit hole. Really goes down. You know, she's had the affair. Now she's really cursed, right? Now it's no turning back. She's in big trouble now. And so you'll see in the doorway it says A, the letter A, XX, and N. And X is the 24th letter. N is the 14th. So you make X 24, 2 and 4 is 6. 4 to 6 is 20. And then it's repeated. You see? XN, XN, and an A. So you put the two XNs, you get two 20s, and that's 22, and then an A is the first letter in front of it. I don't know what the little zero is in between.
Mm-hmm.
So now, this is Alice going down the big hole. She's been going down Little Alice in Wonderland holes through the looking glass already, right?
Mm-hmm.
In gradations, getting more and more involved. It's almost like the theosophical idea that the soul gets more embedded in denser realities.
Now notice there's an arrow. It's pointing.
That's oh, yeah. Is that right? Is that
yeah.
an arrow?
Yeah, it is.
To the left. Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. So she's been hypnotized to be suggested. Oh, I wanted to mention, you know, when we got time to talk here with this endless tunnels. You know,
Hold that thought. I'm going to pause the tape thing for one.